Our lesson this morning is in Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5, God's family security for heads of households. Male heads of households are responsible to protect and provide for their families. I put down two passages. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if a man does not take care of his own, especially his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. Male heads of households as believers have to take care of their own families. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man does not work, he should not eat. This is where we get what is known as the Protestant work ethic. It actually comes from Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And that's where you have to work to make a living. However, that oversight in reality is far too difficult for one to achieve in himself. So much can go wrong that if a head of household cannot control that he needs divine help that extends far beyond himself. Psalm 127, verses 1 to 5, offers God's security for heads of households and even for nations. So we view it for our insight. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you grant us to fellowship with each other. We thank you for the word of God we have in our language. We thank you for the Spirit of God who indwells us, who clarifies the meaning of the word of God to us, and then who graciously gives us the power to obey it. We ask, Father, for wisdom today to understand the word, and then also to rely on the Spirit of God to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage in the King James Version first, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. This is a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in the youth, or children of one's youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Okay, there's a lot we need to cover here. The introductory remarks are part of verse 1, so the numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible in this psalm. So we're going to stay with the English Bible's numbering system that we have. We translate the song as follows: a song of ascents. Once again, this is a song of going uphill. If you're approaching Jerusalem from any direction, north, south, east, and west, you're going uphill. And as pilgrims had to meet in Jerusalem three times a year, all the male heads of households had to meet, and then often their families would come with them. At any direction they approached, they came. And as pilgrims came from all over the nation, as they got closer to Jerusalem, they got closer to one another. So after a while, there would be swarms within 15 or 20 miles of Jerusalem. And so these people, as believers do today, when they're traveling together, what do? They start singing. And so these songs were composed. And then Asaph, who was the head song leader, and his family, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, decided which psalms to get, which pilgrim songs should get into the canon of Scripture. Now, this is a pilgrim song of King Solomon. We've had a couple of pilgrim songs of David. This is one by Solomon. I want to keep that in mind because that has tremendous bearing on what Solomon is trying to do here. A song of ascents, a song of Solomon. Unless Yahweh is the name for God by which he revealed himself to Israel and to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. It's used of God in reference to the role that he plays as the one who keeps the covenant of Abraham with his people. Okay. Unless Yahweh builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless Yahweh watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Now that tells us two levels. First of all, a local house has to have God as its provider and protector. Not only that, the city has to have God as its protector. And we can broaden that. The nation has to have God as its protector. In vain, verse 2, you. Now, the word you don't get this in English, but in Hebrew, it's second person masculine plural. This is a psalm to men. Unless you men rise early and stay up, it in vain you men rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he, that's Yahweh, grants sleep to him. Once again, third person masculine singular. To him, that's a male head of household that he loves. So let me paraphrase that. It is in vain you adult men rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he, that's Yahweh, grants sleep to that man whom he, Yahweh, loves. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Now he's shifting from the word house, which is the word literal house, to family. Family is a figurative word for house. Your house. It means your household. Behold, children are an heritage from Yahweh, the fruit of the womb, his wages for hired labor. Sakkar is a technical word for what a man gets when he works. In other words, God rewards, this is under the law, he rewarded a man with children based upon how well he worked in his livelihood and how well he treated other people in business and so forth. It was a direct reward from the Lord. Like arrows, verse 4, in the hand of a mighty man. Gibor is the technical term for a man at the height of his powers. It was used almost exclusively of warriors who between the ages of 20 and often 40 would fight in combat. So like arrows in the hand of a mighty man of war are children of one's youth or young adulthood, children born to a young adult male who is a family man. Blessed is the adult male in the height of his powers. That's geber, that's the noun itself, whose quiver is full of them. That would be full of children. They will not be put to shame, that's the children, will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the city gate. The city gate is where you had legal transactions occur. That's where courts of law were held. So in the city gate, when they were contending with their enemies, they would come out on top. Now there's a tremendous application here. We note significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. This psalm's author was King Solomon. Now, the king who realized his vulnerability to human failure as an inexperienced king of a large nation, so that he asked God for wisdom to rule aright. Remember that when we were going through 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he asked him, "What do you want of me?" And Solomon said, "You know, I'm young, I'm inexperienced. I'm not like my dad, King David, who was a man of war and so forth. I'm wet under the years, I know it. And here I am, I'm in my 20s. We feel Solomon might have been about 24 years of age at the time. And he says, I have a huge nation to rule over. And this is the first time the nation had become a solid kingdom. I need wisdom. God came back to Solomon and said, I like what you ask. Because that's the kind of king that I'm looking for. So I'm going to give you more wisdom than anyone's had. On top of that, I'm going to make you wealthy. And I'm going to prolong your life and so forth. And if you obey me, things will go well." And God richly rewarded this petition in 1 Kings 3, 11 to 14. So Solomon evidently sought to spread the lesson around to all heads of households in his nation for their individual welfare and for the welfare of the nation. Solomon knew when he got into the throne as a 24-year-old ruling this huge nation, he needed help. But then Solomon realized, once God gave him the wisdom, that every other male head of household needs help. Because even at the local level, running a household is bigger than what the man can do. I can concur with this wholeheartedly. When we came to Nepog Church, we bought our own home and everything. And I'd never owned property before. My dad hadn't owned. So I wasn't familiar with this. And when Dad was in Africa, he built houses out of mud brick and plaster and everything. I was very different. I'd never been in a wood frame home before. And I'll tell you what, I was baptized, the baptism of fire, because there are all sorts of different things about running a home that is wood frame versus, you know, what we had known in Africa when I was growing up. And I got to the point, I had to spend a lot of time in prayer just figuring out what to do in a certain situation that arose. And I realized I needed help. So Solomon knew that. And he knew in his day that every head of household needs help beyond himself just to run his own household. For example, how to relate to your wife properly so that her needs are met and you understand her and so forth. Sometimes it's very difficult for men even to figure out his wife. So he needs help. And children, rearing children, that can be something that is overwhelming. You get certain types of personality or a strong-willed child, that's difficult. And then trying to relate with other people around you and in the business realm, it's overwhelming. So Solomon sought to spread the lesson around to all the heads of households in his nation for their individual welfare and therefore for the welfare of the nation. You know, what I as a king need at my level, Solomon is essentially saying, you gentlemen need in your homes, at your local level. It's too tough. You need help. Accordingly, Solomon stated that unless Yahweh, the I Am, builds a physical house for a family, its builders build it in vain. The same principle holds for a city or a nation as well. Unless Yahweh watches over a city, and hence by broader application, a nation, the watchmen or military stand guard in vain. I'm reminded of the Battle of Midway that occurred in World War II. We had inferior planes at the time. This is the early start of the war. And we had some aircraft carriers, but we had inferior planes. And when the Japanese, with their superior Japanese Zero planes, attacked Midway and everything, they about devastated the island the first pass. The planes went back to the aircraft carriers and were loading up, and they had their planes on top of the decks with all the fuel up there for it was about 15 minutes period of time. At that time, some American dive bombers happened upon the scene, and there had been a mishap in setting the bombs right, and a lot of the bombers had dropped their bombs accidentally, and because they had inferior equipment. And there were a couple of planes that hadn't dropped their bombs yet, and so they came upon, there were two or three planes that had bombs in their bomb bay, dive bombers, and so they came upon this Japanese fleet. Well, they decided to bomb. Well, they bombed just as the Japanese had all their planes up on the decks and all the fuel. All you had to do was have one bomb per aircraft carrier and blew up the whole top of the aircraft carriers. And that's how we won the Battle of Midway. If these planes had come across these Japanese aircraft carriers, in fact, the dive bombers had actually gotten lost and they were late in getting there. But the timing was perfect from God's perspective because it protected our nation. If they had gotten there at any other time, we would have missed this opportunity. Or if the planes already taken off, or if they didn't have the fuel on the top, one bomb wouldn't have done anything. But all you needed was a match to light what was on top of the aircraft carriers and it blew them up. And that's what sunk the aircraft carriers. Obviously, God was helping this country at that time. Now, later we got good planes, you know, better planes, fighter planes that could do the job. But at the time, we had an inferior military outside of our aircraft carriers. So unless the Lord guards a nation, he laid it in vain. So, verse 3, the use of the masculine plural for you and the masculine singular for him in verse 2 reveals that Solomon was addressing male heads of households who were responsible for earning a livelihood for their families. Male heads of households that needed to realize that the welfare of their livelihood incomes that impact their families was entirely in the hands of God. That they thus needed to relate rightly to him for the Lord to reward them with stability in their incomes. You know, this applies to not only to a nation, not only to a household, it applies to anything where a man has a responsible oversight, a business, okay, or church leadership or whatever. I'm convinced that the complexities of what you have to deal with are so far above your ability, it's not even funny. We need God. If we rely on God, then God goes to bat for us and helps us. Then verse number 4, shifting from their efforts to build a physical house and perform physical labor to earn a living, Solomon then wrote of God's construction of a human household, one's family members themselves, that's a figurative word for house, in which God blesses a man by giving his wife children as wages for the man's right workmanship before the Lord. See, It's the Lord who rewards a man according to his work. We are accountable. Every one of us as heads of households, we are accountable to God for what we do in our oversight positions, no matter what the oversight position is. And God's watching over us, and we are going to give an account to him. So children are especially a blessing to a young adult male head of household who's at the height of his male powers, Psalm 127, 4 and 5, especially under the law. God also provides protection from legal threats at the city gate where courts of law were convened. In summary then, all that a male head of household needs by way of protection and provision for himself, his family, his city, his nation, let's say his world, be it in the physical or the spiritual realm, comes as a reward from God for the man's proper relationship with and obedience to the Lord God of Israel. Solomon, who realized his need for God's help to rule the nation Israel and thus asked God for wisdom to do so, was greatly rewarded by God for looking to him to meet that need. Solomon in this psalm thus taught this lesson to all of Israel's heads of households and leaders that they might trust and heed the Lord for blessing. So may every male head of household and every male leader of collections of people larger than a single household realize their great need for God's help and oversight, that they trust and obey him for blessing. Got an illustration for you. My mother, as I've already shared before, the police broke into their home and took the children away from the parents because there was abuse in the home. And they were put into an orphanage, actually. It was in Haddam, Connecticut, which is no longer an orphanage, but anyway. And my mother went there with a number of the other girls. There were six girls in the family. And then they were either adopted out or they were fostered out. And in the court, my mother's father had begged the judge to make sure the girls at least stay together. He didn't want the girls broken up. They want to have some sense of family, but the judge didn't heed that request. And so my mother became a foster child of a man who was a Baptist pastor in Meriden, Connecticut at the time, John Forsyth. He was a Scotsman. And John Forsyth, when he prayed to the Lord, he always prayed out loud. And he prayed down on his knees. He was a dear man of God. And one day my mother heard, we called him Uncle John Forsyth, he was a Scotsman. He was on his knees and he was praying. I can say this because my mother's now with the Lord. And Uncle John was saying, "Lord, I just don't know what to do with Madge." Madge is my mother's name. I just don't know what to do with her anymore. I don't know what the problem is and so forth. And when my mom heard it, she felt really bad because she knew she hadn't been really up and up. She was just kind of a difficult person. But she heard this man who was her father figure, now that he was a foster father. And he had tried to adopt her, but my mother's real mother wouldn't allow that. She thought adopted children were looked upon as second class, so she would not allow her to go to adopt him. But anyway, he was the father figure, and here he was praying to God for help. And that had a tremendous impact on Mom, and she realized that Uncle John was real in his faith with the Lord. And so she started listening to what he had to say. Of course, she came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior, and then she got married and became a missionary in Nigeria for many years and so forth. But it was the impact of listening to Uncle John pray his heart out in regards to my mom, recognizing that he needed help dealing with her, that had probably the single biggest impact on her life, because he was seen as a man of God at that point. He was really concerned about mom. So this is really important. I have actually heard of a young person who spoke to his father. It was a young man, actually. He spoke to his father, and he said, "It's only because I saw your example that I believe the Christian faith was true. I saw so much hypocrisy in Christians around that if it wasn't in you, I wouldn't have gone with it." Isn't that something? It's the impact of a father. So it's extremely important that we as male heads of households really watch our relationship with the Lord and make it transparent so that we become believable to our wives, believable to our children, believable to other people around us is extremely important. Now, before we open this up, I know this lesson was just for male heads of households, but I really also believe that an application that can be applied to ladies in households as well, mothers, because mothers have oversight of children. Mothers have a responsibility in their communities and so forth. The psalm happens to be written to male heads of households. It's in a patristic culture, I know that. But the lessons are just as applicable to women as they are to men in regards to their lives and their roles that they have. A woman needs help in dealing with children. She needs help sometimes in understanding what foods to select for the family or what nutritional supplements to get, you know, which doctor to see. I mean, there are all sorts of decisions that women have to make as well. So we can apply this to women as well. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this lesson itself. It does not have to be. If there's something else that you'd like to discuss or you have some questions about.